Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Wednesday to you. Great to have you here. Great to be with you. The program, as you know, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Excellent midweek show. All right, let's get at it. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines open momentarily, and then I've got an interview coming up next segment. But make sure you have that phone number. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Always do that. Twitter's a great way to participate. Also, you can email me still at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up next segment, a 20-year-old PGA Tour winner. In fact, the NCAA champion and a PGA Tour winner in the same year. That has not been done very often. Almost as importantly, he reps the 818, which I love. Matthew Wolf, great story. He joins me, 818 for life, baby. I no longer live in the 818, but I wish I did. I'm going to rep it forever. 818.
818 for life.
Matthew Wolf joining me, and that's coming up next segment. Next hour, Dallas Mavericks head coach, Rick Carlisle. Coming up in hour number three, Glover Quinn, newly retired, 10-year NFL vet. And so that's how that sets up. I've got an epic pod dropping later on today. Jim Rome Podcast used to be a Tuesday thing. Now it's a Wednesday thing. We're going to do this every single week going forward. Notice I have not said who it is. It's just somebody we have been efforting, somebody I've got a great interest in. I do not want to jinx it. Make sure you look for the Jim Rome Podcast, and that's going to drop a little bit later on today. Again, your telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. All right, starting with the All-Star game last night. I mean, the Pro Bowl, as an example, comes up every single year. Every single year we have the Pro Bowl. And every single year, somehow it manages to get even worse than the year before. And every time I see the Pro Bowl, I am reminded that really, it's not just a Pro Bowl thing, it's an All-Star game thing. Like, no All-Star game is actually any good, except for the MLB All-Star game. Or at least at one point, it was. I mean, hell, at one point, the American League and the National League actually hated each other's guts. At one point, they wanted to beat the hell out of each other. At one point, that game felt more like a postseason game than it did a regular season game. Or an exhibition game, for that matter. It just did. I mean, that game used to have serious juice. And it was in this lifetime. Yeah, like, I know Pete Rose ain't coming through that door, much less to run Ray Fosse into the dugout and wreck his career. But that was the one All-Star game in any sport that used to truly kick ass. And the powers that be know this. Why do you think they've jacked with that game as much as they have over the years? Because they're trying to make it matter once again. They're trying to get us to care about that game once again. More importantly, Major League Baseball is trying to get the guys who play in the game to care about that game once again. Except last night, despite all their efforts, it really didn't help, did it? Like, I really am trying to have a good attitude about what I saw last night. I'm not here to hate. I love baseball. I don't hate baseball. I'm trying to have a good attitude about what I saw, except I'm failing. I mean, there were a couple of moments. A couple of moments, and I will get to one of them a little bit later on. But that's all there were. A couple of moments and a whole lot of boring and time that I'll never get back that I lost. I mean, remember the night before, Vlad Jr. hit 91 home runs. The guy hit 91 home runs the night before in the Derby. The ball is leaving the yard faster and further than ever before in baseball this season. So where the hell was all that last night? That's what we all tuned in to see last night. Instead, it devolved into a pitcher's duel between like 50 pitchers. The Royal Rumble of pitching. The National League managed all of 5 hits, 16 strikeouts. There were a total of 13 hits, 23 strikeouts. Couldn't have been more boring. American League 4, National League 3, everybody watching 0. Brutal. Now, normally at this point, I'm going to play you a bunch of highlights, but there really weren't any. There was only one set of highlights, and I'll get to that in a minute. And no, I am not interested in how many times in a row the American League has won. Nobody is. Not even the American League. I know the National League isn't, or it wouldn't keep happening. Do you really think that NL players went back into the clubhouse last night and smashed up a bunch of Gatorade jugs because they lost? Of course not. Why would they? They know it's a meaningless game, and last night had all the feel of a meaningless game. But if it's going to be meaningless, at least give us something. Give us some action. Anything. Like, that game was about as exciting as Commissioner Rob Manfred trying to spin that they don't know what's happened to the baseballs. Even better was him saying that Major League Baseball teams do not actually want more home runs. He said that. The commissioner said that. I mean, how rich is that? Manfred trying to spin that home runs suck. And if anything, teams want less of them. You know, because no fan's going to pay top dollar to see the best of the best hit it off the scoreboard. Nobody wants that. Oh, all right, commissioner. Yeah, teams don't want more home runs. Like, I don't want better callers to this show. You don't want more home runs, Robert. Uh-huh. Like, Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, and Gary Bettman don't want more scoring in their respective leagues. Hey, Bobbo, what are you going to tell me next, Rob? That Dana White is going to eliminate striking? Because what he really wants more than anything else is grappling in wrestling matches. Yeah, great. You don't want home runs. You actually want less home runs. Yeah, well, you got what you wanted last night because they didn't have much in the way of home runs or meaning or action or anything. In fact, by the seventh inning, it was pretty clear that those juice baseballs were not making a difference. So I was hoping that the commissioner would come out of his box and start personally injecting every single guy with Bolroids on the way to the batter's box. Hell, the game doesn't count, right? It's just for entertainment, right? Are we not entertained? No, we're not. But we want to be. Next time, let this guy shoot every player full of roids during BP and give us what we want. How boring was last night's game when the National League loaded the bases in the eighth inning with a chance to take or tie or take the lead? I was actually rooting for outs just to get the game over with. Now, there was a brief glimmer of hope and action, and honestly, at that point, I was just done. I didn't even want the action. At that point, I was practically coming off my couch, hitting my knees, begging for the game not to go into extra innings. The only thing worse than that baseball last night would have been more of that baseball last night. Extra innings. Free baseball. Normally, free is me. Unless it has anything to do with last night, then I'm reaching into my own pocket to make it go away. In fact, it seems like the only real action last night came before the game, not during the game, but before it, in a meeting between Justin Verlander, Joe Torre, Jim Leland, and at least one other official from Major League Baseball. You see, it would seem that those guys were not all that hyped on Verlander's comments about the balls being juiced and that it was a, quote, bleeping joke. And apparently, the old guys let him hear about it. According to Jason Stark, Verlander's teammate, Gerrit Cole, was the one who sent him in for that meeting. Quote, I may actually have facilitated that meeting. I saw Jim and Joe were in Alex Cora's office, and they said hi. Then Jim, in a not profanity-laden way, said, get Justin in here right now. So I came out and I said, hey, Skip wants to see you. And he said, okay. Then he comes back and he goes, man, I just got chewed out. End quote. Joe, Jimmy Smokes, unnamed MLB official. Maybe you should have had a conversation with everybody about making that game exciting last night, because that's the bigger issue here, right? I mean, come on. As my 14-year-old would say, actually? Come on, actually? That's what you're doing a couple of hours before the All-Star game. You're hustling down to the manager's office to call the starting pitcher in so you can rip him a new one. That's the most important thing in that moment. Look, I know you might be bent that a star pitcher and a future Hall of Famer was saying that the baseballs were juiced, but at least that got you the headlines. At least that was a baseball player making news, because last night's game sure wasn't. Like, Twitter's not the best gauge of interest, but there were more people getting worked up about Robert Redford in that meme than they were about the game itself. It's a clip of Redford nodding from nearly 50 years ago, and that was getting nearly as much run as the Midsummer Classic. That's a problem, yo. And by the way, way to handle that situation like pros. Joe, Jimmy Smokes, an unnamed MLB official. Verlander makes comments to Jeff Passan, and then a gang of old men from the league office come down to tell him to shut up. And if anything, that makes me believe that Verlander knew exactly what he was saying. It makes me believe him even more than I did before. Hey, again, I don't want to come down too hard on the game. I know I just lit it up. I know I just smashed it up. And I will balance that with a positive take a little bit later on. And I'm not here to hate. I don't hate baseball. I love baseball. I really do. I really do. If you listen to this show, you know how far back I go with the game. How much I care about the game. I do love baseball. Which is why last night disappointed me. I mean, there's some serious issues with that game right now. And last night was further proof of that. The one thing MLB always had over all the other pro sports was an all-star game that actually worked. But not anymore. Not anymore, no matter how many times they jerk with it. Not anymore. But I will find you a positive from last night's game because you know me. I'm all about the positive. If I hit you with something negative or harsh, I will always balance it out with the positive. Because I'm a positive guy. And something awesome did happen in that game. There was a whole lot of boring and one awesome thing, which I will hit on later. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. You want to hit me right now. In addition to some additional thoughts on the All-Star game, I want to go back. I will skip ahead. I will talk more MMA, UFC, Masvidal, Askren. They're both talking. Well, Askren never stopped talking. Or I should say Masvidal never stopped talking. Askren did for a moment or two. The moment or two where he was asleep in the cage. But then he woke up and he started talking again. So I've got an update on that. It's really good. Off the board. How about that fencing coach from Harvard who got whacked? Man, what do you have to do to get fired as a fencing coach? I didn't even know that sword fighting was a college sport. It is. And there was a coach. And he got fired. And not only that, if you're 16-2, and what does that mean, by the way? Are there 18 other schools that have sword fights? Anyway, it happened. It's a real thing. I will get to that later on. Quickly to the emails, dear Jim. The MLB All-Star Game is very meaningful. Signed, the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Brian in Syracuse. I think there are more dopes watching that than there are the baseball game last night. I'm not here to hate. I like it. I love baseball. I want to matter. I want them to address their issues. Ooh, I got to get out. Where does time go? Where does time go when you're smashing the MLB All-Star game? Matthew Wolf coming up in a minute. The sun is shining. The temperature's heating up, which means it is grilling season. This season, eat like the party never ends with Kingsford. Grill burgers, chicken, corn, brats, ribs, all kinds of food with that mouth-watering, died and gone to heaven flavor that only Kingsford can fire up. Pick up a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big. Remember, it's not a party if you're not eating good. And you're not eating good unless you're eating food good with Kingsford. Once again, get yourself a bag of Kingsford charcoal at your local retailer and start something big. Kingsford charcoal.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Really big day. I've got Rick Carlisle, head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, top of the hour. We just added another guest, the head baseball coach at UC Santa Barbara, Andrew Checkitz. The reason I'm doing that, he had Shane Bieber there. Shane Bieber walked on at UCSB 5 years ago. And he was the MVP of last night's All-Star game. Glover Quinn, newly retired 10-year NFL vet in hour number three. But as promised, and I'm pumped for this, we're joined by a PGA Tour golfer. He was an All-American at Oklahoma State. The 2018 NCAA team champion there. The 2019 NCAA individual champion. The 2019 Haskins Award winner. The 2019 Nicklaus Award winner. And he won the 3M Open on Sunday with an eagle on the 72nd hole. Also, just the third man to win the NCAA individual title and tour event in the same year. The John Deere Classic gets underway tomorrow in Illinois. All right, Matthew Wolf is my guest. Matthew, great to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good, dude. Listen, you've had a couple of days for this to sink in. When you look back on Sunday and the back nine in particular. Let me start right there. What kind of thoughts do you have?
Yeah, it was pretty hectic, obviously, because I knew I was up there by the lead, but Colin was starting to make a run, birdied, I think, 11, 12, 13, and was kind of bouncing back, and I knew that, obviously, Bryson and Wyndham Clark were up there by the lead as well, so definitely a little nerves kicked in, but just kept on sticking to my game plan and keeping calm out there.
Matthew Wolf joining us. So, Matthew, what about the night before? On Saturday, you were tied for the lead, which made you the youngest player to ever have a 54-hole lead. The story goes that you received a text from one of your coaches at Oklahoma State. What was the text, and what did you take away from that text?
Yeah, it was Coach Starr at Oklahoma State, our assistant coach, and he kind of just told me, you know, winning on any level is the same, and I know how to win. I'm a born winner, and I know how to close it out and handle that pressure, and I was made for moments like those or like the ones that I had in college, and you know, he kind of told me a little stat which was funny, but gave me a lot of confidence. Is, you know, over the last, you know, 3-4 months, I've probably won more than any single person out there. You know, obviously it's in college and not the PGA Tour, but you know, I knew how to win, I knew how to close the deal, and you know, coming down the stretch, that was definitely a little help to have in the back of my mind.
We're talking to Matthew Wolf. Let me ask you this. I mean, you're locked in. You were locked in then. You're locked in right now. But is it true that you and your caddy were talking about NBA free agency during the round on Sunday? And if so, what kind of things were you guys talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about NBA free agency pretty much the entire week, to be honest. That was a pretty big headline, and with so many things going on. But it kind of took my mind off golf, which I really liked. I love focusing out there and, you know, competing and being in the moment. But, you know, between shots, it's, you know, you're out there for 5 hours, 5+ hours, and, you know, it's a lot to focus. And to be able to take your mind off of golf and relax a little bit, talk about a few other things, you know, it definitely helps me a lot. And we kind of did that. We talked about a lot of other things, the free agency and a few others, just to, you know, keep my mind off of it and keep me relaxed out there.
We're talking to Matthew Wolf. Now, Bryson DeChambeau was playing ahead of you. He had that eagle on 18, which meant you were going to need a birdie to tie or an eagle to win. What was your mindset when you saw that?
Yeah, I was in the fairway, holding the 5-iron that I was going to hit in a couple minutes, and I saw him make that putt for eagle, and, you know, I knew I had to birdie, especially with Colin being in the fairway, but now I really needed a birdie because, you know, to tie the lead. And the game plan was still the same, that we had a good line, you know, looking at the grandstands in the back, and a perfect club. So he kind of just told me to take a deep breath and trust my game. You know, he told me I was the best long iron player that week, which, you know, I feel like I really was. I was hitting my long irons very, very well, right where I wanted to, and the right distances, and I kind of just trusted it and didn't really cut as much as I wanted to, but left myself in a good spot.
Hey, Matthew, just to confirm, you're 20, right? You're 20, you're not 35 and 15 years on tour. You are 20, right?
Yes, sir, I'm 20.
All right, just confirming. Matthew Wolf, my guest. Listen, then you had that 26-foot putt for eagle on 18. What was going through you as you lined that up and then hit it?
Well, actually, I was just off the green, so I really couldn't line it up. But the biggest thing for me was, you know, I didn't make a lot of putts that day, and I knew I was putting good all week, so one of them was bound to drop, and you know, me and Steve, my caddy, we picked a line, and both agreed on it very well. I knew the speed, and the biggest thing was just the contact, because the collar was right behind my ball, and just making sure to let it come out, you know, as on a true roll, and not, you know, do anything crazy with it. Just trust my read, trust my line, and trust myself, and I had the confidence to go up there and, you know, stay calm, and, you know, thankfully it went in, and like I said, my life has changed forever now.
Your life has changed forever now, but let's talk about something else. My favorite part of the conversation, in fact, if we go back, now you and I actually grew up much different times, but not that far apart. You're from Agoura Hills. Matthew, I don't know if you know, I grew up in Hidden Hills. I went to Calabasas High School. You went to Westlake, so we're from the same area, both 818. I've got to know, when did you first start to golf?
I first started to golf. I went to Lindero Country Club, like sports camp. And right around then, it was about probably 5 years old, and my dad used to take me to the range when I was like 4 or 5, and, you know, since then I just loved it. And I played a bunch of other sports growing up. I played basketball and baseball and football for a year, soccer, but golf was just where my heart was at. I enjoyed it the most, and you know, kind of just loved being out on the course and hitting as far as I could, and just, you know, stuck with it, and thankfully it worked out pretty well.
Now, it worked out great. Now, what's really interesting is your swing instructor, George Gankis, said that he knew from the moment that he met you that you were something special. He also said that you were clowning him a little bit when you first met him. What do you remember about that first meeting? How old were you?
Yeah, I was 13 when I first met him. He practiced or taught at the same course that our high school practiced at, and I had a bunch of friends that were older that went to him, but I never really met him before. And you know, kind of like seeing him, and you know, I heard a lot about him, and the first time I talked to him, I said, "Are you George Gankis?" And kind of just, you know, not making fun of him, but, you know, it was pretty cool to see him, you know, because I heard a lot about him before, and he, you know, he saw me swing, and he kind of, you know, asked me, like, basically, are you joking, or is that your swing? And I was like, no, that's my swing, and he was like, that's the sickest thing I've ever seen, and from then, it's just history, you know, he loved it right away, didn't change it, and worked with it, and it was really cool to, you know, to see us progress over the years, and how much success we've both had.
I want to reiterate that point. I mean, your swing is different, and a lot of coaches might have been wanting to change that swing, but he loved it as soon as he saw it, and it's one of his favorite swings that he's ever seen. He said as much. So what did it mean to you that he was not looking to tinker or change that swing?
That's definitely something I was looking for from the start. Like I said, I feel really comfortable with my swing. It's a feel. I don't feel like I have to be in any position. If no one ever recorded it, I feel like it'd be straight back, straight through. And, you know, to have that feeling is really important, and I was kind of looking for someone who loved my swing and was going to work with it, not try to change it. And you know, from the start, before I even asked him that, he told me how dope my swing was, and just said I would love to work with you, and you know, just kind of work with things in your swing and not change it at all. Let you do what you do, but just make it a little more consistent. And I loved hearing that right away, and really trusted him from that point on. And he's the only person I'll trust with my swing now.
Matthew Wolf, my guest. So what's your home course? What's your home club?
Well, right now I'm in the process of trying to join Medalist because I moved down to Jupiter, Medalist Golf Club. But growing up was just Westlake Golf Course. I was never fortunate enough to be a member anywhere in Southern California, especially, you know, growing up in the 818, how expensive it is and how nice of an area that is. You know, I never had the ability to join anywhere. And I was, you know, brought up to Sherwood by a few of my friends every once in a while, but for the most part, it was just, you know, public courses around that area, and you know, to see where I came from. And in no way did I have it tough, but you know, I wasn't as fortunate as some of the other golfers that I played junior golf with and in that area. So it was nice to be able to you know, come from that and improve myself, and now you know do my own, you know, have my own success and be able to join a place, and especially like Medalist, which is an unbelievable course.
It's an unbelievable place, and I understand why you're in Jupiter. There's a lot of guys there. There's a lot of reasons for you to be there. I hate to lose you there. Are you still going to claim the 818 is your own? Like, did you go to the Sagebrush Cantina? Tina, did you hang out at the Canyon Club? Did you ever get to the Commons? What were you doing in the 818 before you left for college?
Yeah, the 818 while I was being home. You know, Agoura Hills is where I grew up, and that's always going to be where I'm from. My mom still lives there. My brother is moving to San Francisco, but he still lives there right now too. And it's just, you know, that's where all my friends are still living, because they're still in college right now. So, you know, when they go back home, they go there. And it's cool to see where I've come. But you know, growing up there, we would go to the Canyon Club. We'd hang around there, and there'd be some things to do. But for the most part, I'd go over to my friend's house and just play video games and, you know, swim in the pool, especially with the good weather there. And, you know, it's a really cool place. And I lived there for the first 18 years of my life and still love it, but I'm really happy with, you know, going to OSU, to Stillwater. I love that place, and that's my second home, and now Jupiter's my third home. So all those places I really love, and I'm happy to call home.
Matthew Wolf, my guest. My man, you are living a great life, and you've earned it. You put in the time, you put in the work, and I'm glad to hear you still repping the 818. And again, as I mentioned, I understand why you are where you are right now, and what a great thrill that was over the weekend. Dude, so good to have you on the show. Matthew, we got to do it again soon. I appreciate you, and really good to talk to you today. Thanks so much for that.
Of course, yeah. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Matthew Wolf, he's 20. Man, that's amazing. And when I ran down, and by the way, not only did I run down a resume like that, and usually there's not that long of a resume for a guest coming onto the program, but a resume for a 20-year-old guy. He's done all that. And as I mentioned at the top, I'm no longer living in the 818, but 818 for life. You don't believe me? Ask Clay Matthews.
818 for life.
And Matthew Wolf. Isn't that great, too? He said, hey, you know, growing up, I couldn't really get on those courses. I played some of the public courses, but I couldn't really get on the really nice courses. And now he's in Jupiter, in Medalist, hanging out with the guys. Great player. Amazing player. 2018 NCAA team champion, because at Oklahoma State, they built something ridiculous. That is a power in Stillwater. He was the 2019 NCAA individual champion. And becomes one of just three people to win the NCAA individual championship and a tour event in the same year. The other two guys to do that, Ben Crenshaw, Tiger Woods. And you've got the John Deere Classic, which gets underway tomorrow in Illinois. All right, always good to talk some golf. PGA Tour is awesome. They are so great to deal with. So I appreciate the folks there and them turning that interview. Rick Carlisle, top of the hour. Andrew Checkitz, who coached Shane Bieber in college, is going to join me at 10:40 Pacific.
Check it.
Andrew Checkitz. Glover Quinn has been coming on this show for years, and he is retiring after 10 years. Pete in Kalamazoo tweets, the only roids baseball needs is Polaroids. Regards, hipsters. Vinyl Records didn't want any of that, Peter. Wells in the 360 tweets, Fyre Festival attendees thought that last night's All-Star game was a letdown.
Are we ready? I guess not.
I guess not. And one quick hit email. Hey, Navy SEALs. It's Tiger. What am I doing up at 1 a.m.? Still not paying your lunch tab.
Hey, Nike, it's Tiger. Wake up!
That's Steve in PHX. He is a high-volume shooter. You see, Steve? If you send me 250 emails, one might be a six. And I mean that as a high number for you. That's pretty good for you, bro. Let's get to a bottom-of-the-hour sports update. We do it all the time during this show. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Just a minute. I have to retweet the good brother. Carl Anderson,
brother,
my man, retweet. My man's building himself a badass pool. Nice job. Good brother, Carl Anderson, at Carl Anderson WWE. He's got the Rome mug right outside. Looks like he's got some pavers, some nice stonework. That's beautiful, man. He's going to have water overlooking water. He and Gallows just turned heel on Raw a couple of nights back. My man is just killing the game. He is destroying the game. Look at him building a pool. He's got a beautiful jacuzzi into the pool, into the water feature outside. Man, my man, living the good life, and he's earned it. Good looking out, good brother. Appreciate you watching the show. He's watching us on CBS Sports Network as well. You should be too. 1-800-636-8686. Also, some really good news. I've not hit on this yet because I was off for the previous week. And then I came back and I had so much that I had to get caught up on. We are back on the air in Denver. And I will have more details on that. But if you're listening in Denver, I can't tell you how pumped I am, how much that means to me. Denver was an original four market when we syndicated the program. And I've told the story before. I'll give you the really short version. This show started, well, in reality, the show started in Santa Barbara, California, where I went to college. And then I got my first big break in San Diego. And it was a local San Diego show in 1990. Then we syndicated the program, but we did it ourselves. It was a grassroots effort. We started with four original affiliates, just four. It was Crapchester, Albuquerque, Vegas, and Denver. Denver is an original four market. So we're off the air, back on the air right now, and it feels awesome. So if you're listening in Denver, I want to hear from you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. More details on that in a minute. This email says, "Dear Jim, the All-Star game was very exciting. Regards, fencing. Lee in Hartford." All right, so I got to admit that open. Look, I'm all about ownership, extreme ownership. There's a hint. Extreme ownership. So I'll own what I said in the open. I mean, I've always been about accountability. Like if you're in Denver or anywhere else and you've heard this show for any period of time, you know I've always been about that. Man, just own it. Just be accountable. America is an amazingly forgiving place. Just own it. So I'm thinking about how harsh I was on the All-Star game last night in the open. Pretty harsh, right? I'll own that. So now that I'm rethinking that, I thought about what I said, how I came down hard, how I was harsh on that. You know what? I would like to apologize to absolutely nobody. I mean what I said.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
The syndicated talk show host does what he wants. The game was whack. It sucked. However, there was one thing that saved that game last night. There was one thing that saved that night even. Shane Robert Bieber, your 2019 MLB All-Star MVP. What an absolute legend. Let's go back a little bit. Because when you're talking about Shane Bieber, you're talking about a guy who was a walk-on at UC Santa Barbara. Hell yes, he's a gaucho. Of course. If you didn't know that before, you knew it last night with the way he handled his business when he entered the game in the fifth. Here he is facing Wilson Contreras.
For Carrasco, tailing strike three.
Take a seat, meat. Next up, Ketel Marte.
3-2 pitch. Out in front of it, struck him out.
Hey, Marte, have some. Ronald Acuna Jr., how's this? Shane Robert Bieber, if you need him. And that game and that night absolutely did. You needed somebody to come in and take control, to seize the moment, to become a star, a boss, a legend. That's what Shane Bieber did. No walks, no hits, no nothing. Three up, three down. What a performance in front of his hometown fans who were going crazy and chanting, "Let's go, Bieber. Let's go, Bieber." As the MVP himself said afterwards, he didn't even really know what was going on.
Couldn't really feel my body that much because, you know, like I said, the electricity and the atmosphere and we had going. And then, but also you didn't want to leave a cookie over the plate because these guys are so good and they'll take advantage of it. So really just tried to fill up the zone as much as I could and go out there and get three outs. That was the main agenda.
That was the main agenda. Agenda set. Mission accomplished. MVP won. As Francisco Lindor said, quote, "Shane Bieber, he showed them something today," end quote. Man, he sure as hell did. But then again, he always does. That's how we do it at UCSB. That's what gauchos do. You don't believe me? Ask Michael Young. You don't believe me? Ask Shane Bieber. And again, Bieber's not just a gaucho. Bieber was a walk-on. A walk-on at UCSB. How insane is this story? 5 years ago, he was worried that he might be cut from the UCSB baseball team. And now last night, 5 years later, he's picking up the MVP trophy for the All-Star game and the keys to a new rig. I mean, back then, when he thought he might not last at UCSB, he was throwing in the mid to high 80s. A couple of years later, he was the team's ace, leading them to Chomaha. Now he's the All-Star game MVP. Like that. And if that story weren't already amazing enough, this guy wasn't even on the All-Star team until Friday. Then he just shows up and dominates the way he did. Then again, the fact that he got an opportunity and absolutely crushed it should not surprise anybody at all. He made his MLB debut barely 13 months ago. He's already an All-Star. He's already an All-Star game MVP. rock solid as a rookie last year. But coming into this year, he was not expected to carry that team. They were not asking him to do that. Then Corey Kluber and Mike Clevenger go down. Carlos Carrasco diagnosed with leukemia. And how emotional was that last night? And then all Bieber does is what he's always done. Step the hell up. Top 10 in the AL in innings, strikeouts, whip, winning percentage. And on top of all that, All-Star Game MVP. And it's not just hard to win the All-Star Game MVP as a pitcher. It's damn near impossible, especially as a reliever. I mean, of course, you're barely in the game. Here is a list of the pitchers who have been named All-Star Game MVP in the past 30 years. Pedro Martinez, Mariano Rivera, Shane Bieber. That's it. That's your list. Three of the absolute best to ever do it. Pedro Martinez, Mariano Rivera, and Shane Bieber. Three of the best to ever do it. And I'm going to tell you, not necessarily in that order either, if you're asking me. So how'd it feel to win the MVP award, my man, and to be grouped with those other two legends?
I didn't really know what to think. Kind of lost all feeling in my body, but it's it's an incredible feeling now, now that it's kind of sinking in. Just to be able to do it in front of the home crowd in my first All-Star game is definitely not something I expected.
Well, I expected it. I expected it. The entire Gaucho Nation expected it. Game recognizes game. Gaucho recognizes Gaucho. Shane bleeping Bieber. A bleeping legend. I could not be more proud of you, brother. You know that thing about me not rooting for anybody or anything other than something to talk about? Still true. Still true. Unless it involves a UC Santa Barbara Gaucho, then I'm all in. In fact, my only regret is that I did not lead the show with it. I should have. I should have started with something positive. I should have started with the good story, not the negative story. I should have. That's my regret. Way to rep the Gaucho Nation, Shane. My man, I try to keep some separation between myself and the guys and gals that I talk about on the program. I need to be objective. I don't want anybody to question my loyalty or my objectivity. That said, pitchers on me, it's Sam's to go, bro. War DP, War FT, 2 North. Wore the 6,500 block of Sabado. Wore the countdown at the old nightclub, The Graduate. Wore my sweet mate at DP, Greg Holcomb. What up, Holcomb? That's a good kid. I love that guy. And wore the greatest university in all of the land, UC Santa Barbara. Way to show out, Gaucho. Man, I'm proud of that guy. Really proud of that guy. So proud of that guy that I'm going to interview his coach from UCSB, the guy who let him walk on, Andrew Checkitz. Damn good baseball coach. And still at UCSB. That's coming up next hour. 1-800-636-8686. I am a proud Gaucho. Somebody run that back to my boy Holcomb that I just name checked him on the show. Hey man, some of your best days are in college. Some of your best friends were made in college. Y'all know this. Well, Hawk doesn't. Everybody else does, though. All right, second hour is going to be a good hour, just like the first hour. Rick Carlisle joins us when we come back. Andrew Checkitz later on. Glover Quinn in hour 3. Stay tuned.